And joining us to explain AB 12 is Daniel Heimpel of Fostering Media Connections. So, Daniel, in that piece, you know, young people and even lawyers were finding that AB 12 is confusing. Can you try and explain to us exactly how AB 12 works? What's in that bill?
Well, in 2010, the legislature passed AB 12 because we understand that foster youth, as they turn 18, have a very hard time transitioning to adulthood. Rates of incarceration, homelessness, and education are low. So you've got a situation where kids are not faring as well as their peers who are living with biological parents.
Because essentially, if you are in the foster care system and you age out, you get emancipated, you have no support network necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, those of us who have parents oftentimes rely on our parents to help get us through, to pay rent that month if our jobs aren't... aren't paying enough or things like that.
Yeah, there's no support. There's no formalized support. So unless you were lucky enough through bouncing from placement to placement and school to school to first of all get a high school diploma, as 50% of foster youth in California do, if that, and you were lucky enough to find a permanent connection with an adult, maybe you have somebody who could help you navigate the very difficult world of applying for college, getting your first job, and all the rest. As a mentor, I saw two young men really struggling through that period. And as somebody really deeply invested in their lives, I saw how hard it was without any institutional support to make sure that they got a firm footing into their adulthood.
So AB 12 is supposed to provide support for this transition to adulthood.
Exactly.
But then it's phased in. So explain why it's phased in.
Well, it was phased in, the law to extend foster care to age 21, because California in 2010 was facing a budget deficit, kind of like it's facing right now, and phasing it in brought down the cost in the short term. So you could understand that there's 2,166 kids that will turn 19 in 2012. And so that creates a savings. The last fiscal analysis said that was about $1.6 million in a year. Not a huge amount, but at that time, people were looking for places to save.
So basically what that created was what you're calling this bubble.
Well, I mean, the advocates are calling it a funding bubble or a funding gap. And it created a situation where if you turn 19 in 2012, you could, by virtue of your birthday, be looking at your brothers and sisters in the foster care system who were born at a different date, who get to stay until age 21, and you don't. So
because the bill phases in, it allows you to stay in foster care, get support if you apply to this, if you're 19 this year and then 20 next year and then 21.
Right. So it was phased in from 18 to 19 in 2012, 19 to 20 in 2013, and 20 to 21 if the legislature approves it in 2014.
So that's creating this bubble. And maybe you wrote this good article called A Tale of Two Fridays, right? And you give us the example of this young man, David, in Contra Costa County. Maybe you could tell us his story to help us understand this.
So you had a young man, David, who had some learning disabilities, but was high functioning with Asperger's, who had got into UC Berkeley with good physics, but he was about to turn 19. So Contra Costa County said, well, at age 19, the funding dries up, so his monies will be terminated, the county monies will be terminated. So that's what they were doing, terminating his case, which meant that his foster care placement was ending. And before he graduated from high school, he was in the position where he didn't have a place to live. He would have to go live with a sister. Thank God he's got a sister. But for kids in even worse situations, that's facing them.
Okay. And so what's the legislature now trying to do to close this bubble?
Well, they've come through with a second wave of cleanup legislation. This is called AB 1712, designed to close the bubble. At the end of May, it made it through the Assembly. Now it's working its way through the Senate. And that would clean up that bubble, that funding gap for the 2,166 kids throughout the state who turned 19 in age 20 in 2012.
And you expect that this will be passed?
It made it through the state assembly unanimously, and it seems like there's a lot of momentum behind it. And when you look at the fiscal analysis, it may cost $1.6 million in this fiscal year, but the offset by 2016-17 is around $15 million in federal funds coming in for a different program. So there are federal funds coming in offsetting this anyway. So it's kind of a no-brainer.
So you say that everybody who was seeing this legislation, even supporters of the legislation, saw that there was going to be this problem. Why would you pass a bill with that kind of a huge built-in problem that's going to affect actual real people who are so vulnerable?
Well, I think that you've got to understand that California has 1/8 of the nation's foster care population. They were taking advantage of a federal law, and they were one of the first major state to take it up. So it was a historic moment. And I can empathize with being in this situation where people are going to say, we're going to kill this bill unless we get the numbers down. And you say, I got to get this through now to help out all those other kids who are turning 18 in 2012, who are not turning 19, but who are turning 18. And so that starts, if you didn't get it through, the sentiment was now or never. And so that's why that was created. That left counties in a very tough position.
And you mentioned the $1.6 million that this might cost in this fiscal year. But what we didn't talk about are the costs that don't get recorded that are intangible.
Right.
If kids are sort of just thrown out on their own at 18 and don't have housing or support or an education?
Well, there was a cost-benefit analysis done when AB-12 was working its way through. And it said for every dollar you spent past the age of 18 on these youth, you'd get a 2.4 return, $2.40 return on every dollar invested. And that was just an increased earning capacity because of higher college attendance rates, not even graduation rates. That didn't count incarceration and all the rest. So despite, I mean, it's child advocates can make the mantra forever, and they've got cost-benefit analysis through the wazoo, and that doesn't seem to penetrate. But it's clear at some point that if you don't invest in kids, it's going to cost you a lot later. And it's interesting to see how the legislature has responded to this bubble issue in the light of a lot of media coverage and the rest, kind of making that case. So I think if that case were made more broadly, I think it would penetrate a little bit more. But I mean, it's just obvious. It's obvious that these kids need support, and that's going to help us.